so much. I never know quite what Kevin's going to say next when he talks to people. So I'm just prepared for anything whenever he gets up. Just fantastic just to be here this weekend. I think we're enjoying it more than you're going to. I want to speak tonight about the blessings of worshipping in spirit and in truth. And I said to Stephen, is it okay if we worship after I speak as well? Because I thought there's no point in speaking and then we've finished all our worship. So I hope that's okay that we split it like this. I just want to read one verse to you, if that's okay, which says, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. And that's from John chapter 4, verses 23. If after the meeting tonight, we were to take you back to Glasgow, and we were to take you to our house where we live, and you were to walk into our sitting room, you would see over the fireplace a big picture, about that big or so, like that. It's actually a huge photograph that we bought on a trip that we went on. And it's a huge photograph of a big sandstone rock in the middle of Australia called Uluru, or Ayers Rock. Some of you are nodding, so presumably you've either been there or you've seen photos of it. It is huge. It is over 2 miles wide. If you imagine walking along the top of that rock for 2 miles, you still have not come to the end of it. It is 1 mile wide. It goes underground, apparently, for 1.5 miles deep. It is ginormous. And when we went on holiday to Australia the other year, we decided to go and visit this major tourist attraction. And so to get there, we had to get on an aeroplane and we had to fly to Alice Springs. Then we had to hire a car and we had to drive down to where it was. We had to, before that, we had to set the sat nav and we got a map book as well to look at. We had to point the car in faith and we had to travel for 280 miles across the outback to stand by this rock. And you know, people told us that when we went, we would see on the journey, we would see kangaroos and we would see camels and we would see dingoes. And I have to tell you that all the way there and all the way back, we saw one cow. And there are thousands and thousands of cows in Scotland. One cow, and it was a thin cow, was it not? A thin, stringy cow. How on earth it ended up there, I have no idea. That is all we saw. And so we made them up. And Kevin said, can you see over there? Look at those camels. And I said, wow, that's amazing. And look over there, there's a whole herd of horses galloping along in the horizon. And he said, but look here, look at this dingo. It must have got lost all by itself from its family. It's all by itself, you know. And all the way down there, we saw amazing things, didn't we? You know, camels and horses and just everything, birds, rare birds and things, all the way back too. And so we have a whole lot of memories of things that we didn't see. But we had a great time, and we have some fantastic memories of that trip. And we have a huge frame photograph on our wall, and it's not just a picture, but every time we look at that, it's full of so many memories of our time in Australia. See, we brought something away with us from that experience in that view that adds to our life. Every day we look at that. We don't always talk about it, but whenever we walk in our room, it is there right in front of us, and we remember some good things. When we worship God, we go on a journey in worship. We worship because He is worthy. But when we worship, we bring away things with us from that experience to add to our life. And God is a God of deeper and higher and wider and further. He's not a standing still God. He hasn't created you and me to be a standing still people. He's created us to move, to keep moving. We read in the Psalms, you all know the verse, if I ascend into the heavens, it says you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. That's 1:3-9, 8, if you're writing it down. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, it says, even there your hand shall lead me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. We read in Ephesians 3:18 about God's love. It says, reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the height, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. And sometimes you feel, well, I've really experienced God's love. There's nothing more to experience. And then suddenly you find out it's deeper. You find out it's higher. You find out it's wider. You can never get to the end of it. And what this is saying is that there's no boundary that God can't get across to meet us. There is no place that he is not. In the highest heavens, in the deepest oceans, in the earliest mornings, in the farthest seas, in the latest nights. And sometimes, aren't those just the very places that we find him? In other words, it's actually often in the sacrifice that life appears. You know, we see more of life. And it's in the sacrifice as Christians that he appears to be the brightest. You know, when we climb that bit higher, we swim that bit deeper, we rise a bit earlier, we wake that bit later. Because when we do these things in the natural world too, we often see a different world from the one that we see every day. If you've ever been up a mountain and looked across the mountaintops, you see more. If you've ever been to the depths of the countryside and looked on a clear night, you see more stars. For people who dive, I know that once they descend underwater, they see a world that I have no idea exists. We see different things. Something beautiful about the early morning, a deep stillness about it. If you're I never see the early morning, I've got to be honest, but if you're any early morning people here, yeah, if you're an early morning person, you know, there's just a deep stillness about it. Life looks different. Things seem clearer to you in the early morning. Really late at night, any late night people here? Oh, far more late night people than early morning people. When everything is still and silent, you wander outside and you just stop and you just listen. Life looks different to the one we see every day. It's often in making the sacrifice that life responds, and it's often in making the sacrifice that God responds to our action. And God is no man's debtor, is he? And whatever you give in being here in church tonight on a Saturday night, or you give in worshiping God by yourself, he wants to give you back in different ways. And as we worship him, he not only loves to receive our worship, but he also wants to pour back things into our lives. So we're not just like a worship machine, but so we feel and we long and we're involved in our interaction with him. He wants relationship. He doesn't want us just to function as a machine, but he wants a relationship, give and take relationship with his kids. In the Bible, that was a verse I read in John 4. There is a verse in which Jesus says God wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. God calls us to worship him in spirit. That's from our heart. That's sincere. That is motivated by our love for him and our gratitude to him. But he also wants us to worship in truth. That's with integrity, in honesty, not pretending. He wants it to be genuine and heartfelt and passionate. But we see people at football matches worshipping. We see them worshipping their football team from their heart. They're sincere. They're motivated by their love of the game. They are genuine, heartfelt, and passionate. Is there any difference? What is the difference? There is a world of difference, because for us, it is a two-way thing. Because as we worship, we are also soaking in the Holy Spirit and in the truth of God's word. So there is a supernatural element to our worship. It's a two-way thing. We worship in spirit with our heart, and in truth with integrity and with honesty. And at the same time, we worship in spirit with the Holy Spirit's involvement, and in truth with the Word of God, which is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, being proclaimed on our lips. And as this interaction takes place, spirit and truth, our Father God helps us to find a place in our thinking for events that happen in our life. The difficulties, the struggles, the trials. And as we worship in spirit and truth, then He will give us the right eyes to see our world in the right way. You know, when you're trying to get through to God and, you know, you think, I just can't get through because I've got this problem and I've got this situation and this problem. He helps us when we set out in faith to worship in spirit and in truth, to see our world in His way from a completely different angle. And when we gather for worship on a Sunday at church, or we play a worship song at home and we come into His presence, we come to do three things. And briefly, I want to mention those three things. First of all, we come to be still. We come to stop our usual activity and to turn our minds to God and His word. The other month, it was the anniversary of my mum's death. She died many years ago. She died 40 years ago. And I was thinking the other day of what I would tell her if I saw her now. I would say, Mum, I don't have to spend 3 hours in the kitchen. I don't have to have the oven on for hours. If I want to, I can put something in the microwave. I don't have to wait weeks for a reply to a letter. I can send this thing called an email, and I get an answer back almost immediately. I don't have to sit at the bottom of the stairs to use the phone. I have my own little phone in my pocket, and little messages come through from all day long in my phone. I don't have to wait 2 weeks while the librarian orders a book. You know, I can get it from Kindle in 1 minute. I don't have to wait until the bank opens on Monday. I can tap my card or my phone on the top of the counter and pay for something. I don't have to wait at the shop until it opens tomorrow morning. I can go to some shops in Glasgow all night long. I don't have to wait for something to be delivered for a week. I can go on Amazon Prime. It's there on my doorstep the next morning. There are so many things that are different now. All good stuff. But you know that everything I've gained, I think one thing that I have lost is sometimes I find it so hard to wait. You know, I'm not used to waiting now. Sometimes I think we've lost the ability to wait, just to think, just to be still, and as Christians, to let our minds soak in the Word of God. But when we come to church or we come into His presence at home, then we step out of our everyday instant world to find a new space and to be still, to take our eyes off the here and the now, and to lift our eyes and to fix them on Him, to allow God's truth to calm us, to inspire us, to correct us, to strengthen us, to cleanse us, and loads of other things too. When we worship, lots of things happen to us. We see His greatness. We accept His forgiveness. We are purified. We get guidance. We give him wisdom. He pours down his love on our lives. He watches over us. We get protection. When we take that journey into worship, we find ourselves in a place that is very good. And that's what's available here tonight. Time to soak in the truth of the Word of God, to worship God with songs underlining those truths, to sit under ministry which hopefully is based on the truth of the Word of God. And as those truths fill your mind, you don't have to bring them to life, because they are already alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. There is already life in those truths. Time to think, to worship, to dwell in the Father's love. Time to soak in that truth that is alive as we become still. It's good for us. There was a survey taken about the benefits of going to church, and when all the facts and figures were all collated and all written down in this article, it ended with this sentence. And it said, in a very real and physical way, church is literally good for your health. So we come to be still. Second thing, we come to be filled. So often we fill ourselves with food, we fill our car with petrol, we fill our pocket with money so we can use it. We wouldn't invite guests for a meal with no food, we wouldn't drive our car with no petrol, we wouldn't buy stuff with no money. And yet how often does Margaret expect to be able to feel the Holy Spirit and what I touch and what I say and what I do and what I play when I haven't bothered to fill up with him? Ephesians 5:8, we know that. Be filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Spirit. You'll have heard this quote when D.L. Moody asked why did he ask God to fill him with the Spirit again and again and again, not just once? He said, I need a constant infilling because I leak. We leak. We need him to fill us regularly with the Holy Spirit. We need to regularly say, and I speak to myself here, here is my heart, Lord. I have made some space for you. Please, fill me up. Space is a vital thing in life. If you listen to a piece of music, the thing that makes the music is the silence. Let me show you. Just one second. Listen. Jumble of notes. The thing that makes the music, the thing that makes you want to hear the next thing, is the space. You know, if you're reading a story in a book, the author dribbles information out to you. The thing that keeps us reading is the fact that we don't know why something is happening. There is a space in the information. That's the secret of keeping people reading the story. Something happens in that space. It creates something within us to want to know that space will be filled. When you watch a film, it's what the director doesn't say that draws you. It's when someone hides a piece of paper in a drawer and you don't know why. When someone is standing in the corner watching, but you don't know why. It's the spaces in the information that draw you. Something happens in that space. And when we come before Almighty God, often the thing that makes the connection for us are the things we are not saying, the things we are not doing. Something happens in that space. As Pentecostals, it's great to fill our, you know, fill the space with music and fill the space with words. But sometimes when we dial down and we create a space for God, we say, Holy Spirit, come. Something happens in that space. And so today, we connect with God in truth and in spirit. We come to be still, to soak our minds and thoughts in the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. And we come to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Lastly, when we are still, when we soak our minds in the Word of God, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we can be envisioned. Be still, be filled, be envisioned. It's amazing when these two things come together, how often when we take the time to be still, we open our hearts to be filled, we can see things in a clearer way, can we not? We can see things in a clearer way. And as we worship in spirit and truth, as we spend time allowing the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts, we allow the truth of the Word of God to fill our minds, then He will give us the right eyes to see our world in a new way, in His way. Our vision will be clearer. We can see things from God's perspective. We realize He has all things in control. From that place, things look different. You get a different angle on the situation. It may not have changed, but you see a completely different angle when we look at it from that place. As we make that journey in worship, there are so many things for us to discover. And they're not imagined things, like we made them up and we had a great time and lots of laughs. And we still remember them, don't we, Kevin? Yeah, but you don't have to make them up, because on that journey of worship, you know, there are so many things about God to discover, because you can go so much deeper and His love is so much wider and you can fly so much higher. As we soak in the Holy Spirit, as we marinate in the truth of God's Word, then this will help us to find a place in our thinking for events and problems that happen in our lives that are right in front of us. So those situations no longer cloud our vision, because we can find a place in His hands for our stuff. As we make space and as we let the Spirit and the Word interact within us, within that space, then He will cause something to happen. I know that when I am full of the Holy Spirit, then God gives me the eyes to see my world differently. He just does. Everywhere is God-filled if you bring the right eyes to it. I have an old Bible, and a long time ago I wrote these words in it. Two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud. The other saw stars. And so today, looking at things from God's perspective, He will give us the right eyes to worship God and to see things from God's perspective. When we are still, when we are filled, we become envisioned. We realize, we see, we find a place for those issues that are right in front of us. We put them in His hands, and we can see that they may still be there, but we can see God's perspective, that God is in control. When we allow God to lead us to His place, the place of His presence, there is everything you need. I remember the evening of that visit to Uluru, and we sat with thousands, hundreds, maybe more of those people. And everybody was silent, and everybody was watching the rock. And the reason they were all watching the rock was because it kept changing. Because as the sun came down in the sky, the shadows on the rock changed what the rock looked like. The shadows kept changing its appearance. And as we spend time with the rock in whom we can take refuge, as we spend time with that rock of our salvation, as we spend time with that rock who trains our hands for war, that rock whose work is perfect and all his ways are just, then we will see that although our God never changes, although he is the same yesterday and today and forever, he is whatever we need him to be at any moment in our lives. Uluru might be 2 miles long and 1 mile wide, but our rock, as we do in Ephesians 3:18, and we reach out and we experience the breadth and we test the length and we plumb the depths and we rise to the height, we will find there is nowhere that he is not. There is nowhere in any situation, wherever we go, there is nowhere that he is not. As we get still and we get filled and we become envisioned before the rock of our salvation, we will find him at work and at home and at church, in our most difficult problem and in our most scary nightmare. Because he is already there in your deepest depths, in your highest heights, and those shadows in our lives, when they appear, they will throw up an amazing new view of our Father God. In a moment, we're going to worship God again. As a church, when we do, let's worship him in spirit, from our heart, sincere, motivated by our love for him, and enjoying the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's worship him in truth, genuine, heartfelt, and passionate, with the word of God on our lips. You know, that word that's sharper than any two-edged sword, that word that is alive. As the word and the spirit come together in our lives, then we as individuals will be both envisioned and strengthened for the days that lie ahead. Can we just stand a moment and can we pray? Is that okay? I just want to apply what I've shared for a moment. We read in the Psalms, if I ascend into the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. He is with you. He is for you. Reach out right now. Experience the breath. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full life in the fullness of God. Just experience his presence. He is with you. He is there. First of all, we come to be still. Just be still in his presence for a moment. Let your mind soak in the truth of God's word. Allow God's truth to calm you, to inspire you, to correct you, to strengthen you, to cleanse you. Allow the word of God that is alive to wash over you. Isaiah 41:10. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady. I'll keep a firm grip on you. Ephesians 3:20. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine, or guess, or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing you around, but he does it by working within us his spirit deeply and gently within us. Allow his words to wash over you. Jeremiah 29. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. When you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. Jeremiah 31. I've never quit loving you. I never will. Expect love. Love. More love. Zephaniah 3:17. Your God, present among you. A strong warrior there to save you. Happy to have you back. He'll calm you with his love, and he will delight you with his songs. The word of God is living and active. Allow it to wash over you. Right now, we come to be still. We come to be filled. We make space for him. Something happens in that space. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you right now. You don't need anyone to pray for you. Allow him to fill you from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. To be envisioned. He has all things under control. Lay those things in his hands. Are you going to see mud? Are you going to see stars? Look up. Look up. Father, we want to worship you in spirit, from our heart, sincere, motivated by our love for you. And we want to enjoy the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you. You love our worship. You deserve our worship. You are worth our worship. And we want to worship you in truth. Genuine, heartfelt, and passionate. With the word of God on our lips. As the word and the spirit come together in our lives. He wants to envision you. He wants to show you there is a way forward. He wants to show you you'll fly high, you'll swim deep. He wants to strengthen you for the days that lie ahead. Let's give our all in worship to him now.